If you've seen a movie in the last, say, decade, you know that superhero movies have reached a renaissance time. And that, especially in the summertime like right now, every other movie seems like a superhero movie. And one of those superheroes that's found fame again on the silver screen is the Incredible Hulk. You probably know him, the giant, green, near invincible, unstoppable beast of a superhero. The Incredible Hulk. The backstory of the Hulk, he was created by a couple of men, first in 1962, and the lore surrounding the Incredible Hulk goes like this. There was a brilliant scientist, physicist named Dr. Bruce Banner, and in an experiment gone awry, Bruce Banner is blasted by an overwhelming force of gamma radiation. This is the early 60s, and the nuclear age was upon us, and so a lot of fears there. And so he's blasted by gamma radiation, which turns him into this giant green monster, the Hulk, someone that is uncontrollable and unstoppable, fierce, both fighting supervillains, but also with the uncertainty of what he would do as he becomes the Incredible Hulk. Now this morning, we're continuing our series on the Proverbs that have shaped us, as Tom began last week. And this morning, we're going to be discussing what Proverbs has to say on the anger within and how the Lord has used that in my own heart. And you might be thinking, what has anger got to do with the Incredible Hulk? Well, you see, it was the TV series that ran from 1978 to 1982 that gave us perhaps pop culture's most famous tagline when it comes to the Hulk. If you've seen it, you know that the actor there would say this phrase, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I get angry." And it was anger, it was stress that led to that anger that would transform Bruce Banner into this unstoppable force, the Hulk. In fact, if you saw the movie The Avengers a couple summers ago, you might remember that famous tagline as the superheroes are assembling in their climactic battle in New York City as they are fighting, the aliens are coming in, and Bruce Banner's there, and Captain America, if you're familiar with that superhero, looks at Dr. Banner and he says, "Dr. Banner, now would be a good time to get angry. See, the aliens are coming, we need your help. The Hulk, where's he at? Where's the anger? We need something here." And Bruce Banner in the Avengers looks at Captain America and he says, "Well, Captain, that's my secret. I'm always angry." You see, it was anger that transformed the normal, brilliant scientist, Bruce Banner, into the unstoppable, uncontrollable, giant green monster of the Hulk. And anger is just like that. It's always lurking within, ready to, in a sense, explode at any moment. So Jennifer and I, we've been married for about 7.5 years now. We were married a week after we graduated college. And so we decided to cram in every major life change outside of having children into 1 week. Graduated college, got married, moved to Dallas, started new jobs. I started seminary, new place, new apartment, no family, no friends. And what we discovered very quickly is that as exciting and joyful as marriage is, it sometimes is challenging. And it's hard. It's hard work. And it was in one of those first few months of being in Dallas as a newlywed and figuring all that out, we had, newlywed couples do, we had our fair share of disagreements, right? Fights. Yeah. And it was in the midst of one of those fights and just one of those memories you never forget. We had an apartment in Dallas. It was about 800 square feet. I could vacuum the whole apartment without moving the electrical outlet of the vacuum cleaner. You know, one of those. It's great. One of those moments of some tough conflict. We're standing in the kitchen, Jen and I, and in the midst of this, and both of us in tears. And of course, now I don't remember what it was about. I'm sure I had done something foolish, ridiculous. And in the midst of that conflict, that was really hard. And I said something that even to a greater extent, hurt Jennifer. And she moved, we were standing in the kitchen, a little small kitchen there in the apartment, and she moved past me and walked down our hallway to go hide, really. There's not a lot of places to hide in an 800-square-foot apartment, but the bathroom might have been one of those. And so she walked into the down the hallway, down the bathroom. I remember I followed her. Of course, I'm fuming, angry, and I follow her down the hallway, and she walks into the bathroom incredibly hurt, and in an attempt to get away from me, she closes the bathroom door. Except in that moment, I reached out with my hand and grabbed the door handle to the bathroom door. And it was in that moment of standing there, my wife in tears, myself in tears, my muscles clenched and tight, holding that bathroom door, that I realized I'm out of control. I realized I had not intentionally reached out and grabbed that bathroom doorknob. And in some ways, that small physical move from here to here was fairly insignificant, but for me it was incredibly significant, because in that moment it was as if the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder, saying, "Curtis, something's going on here. Something's going on in your heart, and we got to deal with it." It was in that moment I realized that at any one time, the anger lurking within me would be able to spring out. And just like the Hulk of this uncontrollable giant green monster, there I was standing in the doorway to our bathroom. The exact same thing. And this morning, if you've ever struggled with anger, or you've known someone that struggled with anger, or you've been around it, you know exactly what that's like, that uncontrollable, monstrous force. So where do we find hope? If the force of anger is powerful, if it is always there, where do we find hope? This morning we're going to see that. And we're going to see, as we investigate Proverbs, that in fact, Proverbs does paint a realistic portrayal of this negative impact of anger, and it will tell us that if we want to address it appropriately, correctly, to find hope, we must not just engage anger on the levels of our behaviors, but ultimately on the level of our heart. First, I want us to see this morning that the inappropriate expression of anger never produces positive results. Proverbs is across the board consistent in this, is that the inappropriate expression of anger never produces positive results. In fact, it will only first, in your notes there if you're following along, it impacts those around us and ensnares our souls in trouble. If you've got a copy of your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn first to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. You're welcome. We're going to hit several Proverbs this morning. You're welcome to follow along with us. I will also be putting them on the screen if you would care to read those there. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. It says this: "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs is going to speak about the issue of anger, and it's going to talk about not just someone that has the occasional outbursts of anger. Certainly we would all fall into that category. Instead, it has in mind a picture of a man who is characterized by anger, someone who is often given to this, someone who at any one moment is likely to transform into the person that we know and love, to an unstoppable monster. And this particular proverb first tells us this, that those of us perhaps struggling with anger, it is not simply our problem. Anger isn't just something that I have to deal with, because what we have to realize is that it affects everybody. It impacts everyone around us. In a relational sense, a situation, you become angry, everyone else in the room, either they do a couple of things. One, perhaps they back off and they shut down. It's hard to have good, deep relationships when everyone around you is shut down. Or perhaps the opposite, they respond in turn in anger. You see, your anger is not just your problem, it affects everybody else. And the Proverbs also warns us that would associate those with anger, he would really say, stop. Don't do it. Because before you know it, it will ensnare you. It will trap you and you will become just like them. The saying, you know, we are the company we keep, often does ring true. I grew up in Southeast Texas, outside of Beaumont, Texas, and every time I go back to visit my family down there, I come back speaking a little more East Texan. I'll recognize I have a Texas accent anyway, but the day that I come back from visiting that, it's really clear. Why? Because that's who we're around. And you pick up those sorts of things. Proverbs will say, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways. Because you see, anger negatively impacts those around us, and it really will ensnare our souls in trouble. But also does this, anger hinders, blocks opportunities for true peace in the midst of conflict. Proverbs 15, 18. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18 says this, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention or quiets contention. You see, anger hinders opportunities for true peace. I spent a lot of time in my marriage, especially in those first few months in Dallas in the midst of conflict. I spent a lot of time escalating that conflict because of anger. Proverbs is very realistic. Gotta love it for that. It says in the midst of conflict, you get angry, guess what's gonna happen? It's only gonna lead to more strife, more conflict, more trouble. That won't get you where you're going. In fact, anger puts a roadblock in the midst of peace. If you are in the midst of conflict headed towards the direction of peace, you might think getting angry will get you there, but in fact, the opposite occurs. And then it puts a roadblock in the midst of that direction that you're trying to go. The obvious, and now you can say it's obvious in the midst of this, a calm situation, but for those of us that know what conflict's like, our minds do anything but work rationally. But obviously the opposite is to remain calm and patient. That's what leads to peace. See, anger hinders our opportunities for that. Look, I know what that's like. And I know it just feels so good, right? It just feels, in the midst of that conflict, it just feels good to be angry. But the reality is that just gets in the way of where we really want to be. Proverbs also says and teaches us that anger destroys our defenses and provides really a false sense of control. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 reads this, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. This phrase, rules his spirit's a key phrase. We'll see it again later on in another proverb. And it plays a key role within the entire book of Proverbs as it instructs us of how to deal with a wide range of emotions, not just anger, but other emotions, jealousy, envy, those sorts of things. This idea of self-control or ruling our spirit. And it says that person who has no rule is like a city broken down without walls. Now, in the ancient world, the city walls were its greatest and best line of defense. The city walls are thick, they're tall, those walls can protect a city. And without those walls, no telling what can happen. You're open to attack from outside, you can't even keep the people inside in without those walls. And if we cannot rule our spirit, what we find is that we are ultimately out of control. With no defense. You see that power that we feel in the midst of conflict, in the midst of that anger, it's really just an illusion. Because that power that we feel, that fake power, is really a loss of control. And in many ways, it's a loss of power. In those times, and after that time of grabbing the door handle to the bathroom in our apartment, I took a note card And I wrote on the note card, James 1:19, where James says, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to be angry. And there were many nights where I'd lay in bed, clutching that note card, repeating that over and over and over again. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Over and over and over again. And James gives us that instruction. He goes on to say, because that anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't lead us as we walk with our Savior. It doesn't move us in the right direction. It may make you feel powerful, but in reality, it's pushing you the exact opposite way. It gives us a false sense of control and doesn't lead us in the right direction. So if the expression of anger never produces the true desired results, what does? Right? What does help us overcome this problem? And if that's what we're after, true hope in the midst of this, we must learn to go deep within our own hearts to discover the cause of anger and ultimately to overcome it. See, Proverbs isn't just concerned with us managing our behavior. The Bible isn't concerned with you managing your anger problem. It wants your heart. And it leads us in the right direction. And the Proverbs will tell us if we cut this process short of going deep within our hearts, of learning how to rule our spirit, as we'll see here in a second, if we cut that process short, we'll find that we will forever be dominated by the presence of anger. Unless we do discover its true source. I invite you to turn to Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19 says this, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Proverbs isn't just concerned with the idea of anger management. I've thought about the episode of Seinfeld from this last year where George Costanza's father is struggling, Frank is struggling with high blood pressure, and his doctor says, look, when you're feeling stressed, just say, serenity now. Serenity now. But somewhere in that, he forgets that it's not just simply saying the words, serenity now, because if you're screaming them, serenity now, it's not helpful. And several of the characters in the episode, if you've seen it, pick up on that. And what they find is that in the midst of conflict, screaming serenity now doesn't achieve the desired results. See, Proverbs isn't concerned with just fixing our behavior. Just to saying some magic words won't do it. And Proverbs 19:19 tells us if that we only cover over the behavior of anger, we will be punished. That person that is angry will be punished. Why? Because he will continue to deal with it over and over and over again. And you may stop him from being angry once, but he will be punished because it will come back again and again and again. And those of us around, if we only deal with the problem of anger, those of us around them will also have to deal with it again and again and again. As our pastoral staff has been discussing this morning, the phrase that we have been throwing around that describes that is this, if there's smoke, there's fire. If there's smoke, there's fire. If you see the smoke, that is the anger. And if you see that smoke, you know that somewhere there's a fire. And you can get your giant fan out to blow all the smoke away. You can wave it away. But it doesn't matter what you do. If you only deal with the smoke, guess what? It's coming back. So Proverbs says, next, that addressing the inward source of anger is essential for our victory. Where there's smoke, there's fire. How do we deal with the fire? And it comes from addressing the inward source of victory. Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs chapter 16:32 says this, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. In this better than proverb, this relative comparison proverb, it speaks about two types of people. First, the one, the mighty warrior, the valiant man, the battlefield, the hardened veteran. And it says, look, and again, in the ancient world, that's the guy you want on your team. That's your man. I mean, it even talks about a warrior who can take a whole city seemingly single-handedly in a single day. Now that's the guy you want beside you. That's an important man, for sure. But Proverbs says it's not as important as someone who can rule his spirit, who can have self-control, who can go down past the smoke that's waving around down to the fire deep down below, and the person that can look deep into that inward source of anger and deal with that, who can have domination over their own souls and what's really going on in their heart. That's what we're after. It's the same word shows up in Genesis chapter 4 in a familiar passage with Cain and Abel. And the Lord says this, Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen?" Verse 7, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well," the Lord says, "sin lies at your door and his desire is for you, but you should rule over it." The Lord says, Cain, you've got to find something deep down within yourself. Dealing with anger, we've got to go down to that deep source of what's really going on in our hearts, because the anger, it's just the smoke. It's just what's covering it up. I think there are two, probably more, but certainly two sources of our anger. I'd like to share them with you this morning. The first one is that anger, and the reason why we get angry, because anger is an easier emotion for us to face. All of us are emotional people. We deal with a wide range of emotions. Most of those, they're hard to handle. But anger is easier. Let me give you some examples. Student walking down the halls of a junior high or high school. Maybe this was you as you were a young person walking down the halls carrying a big load of books. Some big bully walks over and knocks them out of your hand. Books, papers, pencils, pens strew all over the floor. Everybody in the hallway looks at you. They start laughing. Instantly, that student, although he has done nothing wrong in his own right, instantly went with that student's feeling. Probably embarrassment. Everyone's looking at him. Embarrassment. But man, embarrassment's hard. No one likes feeling embarrassed. You know what's easier? Anger. It's easier to be angry. Oh, I can't believe he would do that. You know, and again, you know, if you're like me, you're not the kind of guy that's gonna bow up to him and get in a fight. You know, maybe they're bigger than you or whatever. You know, but even on the inside, it's you're just muffling under your breath as you pick up your books. It's just easier. How about this? You go to work one day, you've been working on a project for a long time, feel really good and proud about it, and your boss says, hey, come into my office, we need to have a meeting. He's got a copy of your project, your report, whatever it is on his desk, and looks at it and he says, this right here is worthless. What have you been spending your time? This is terrible. I can't believe you would do that. I can't believe you'd waste the company's time. This is no good. What's that person feeling? Perhaps inferior, frustrated, sense of standing there before your boss telling you what you're doing is bad. It's not a good feeling. You know what's easier? Anger. Well, he doesn't know how much work I've put in. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't know what's going on at home. He doesn't know all the countless hours that I've spent working, preparing that just right. It's just easier to be angry. Or how about this? You've had a long day with the kids and finally put them to bed. And, you know, for the first time in your day, ladies, you get to sit down if you're at home with your kids during the day. And first time you get to sit down, maybe all day, take a few moments to yourself. And you pull out your phone and you're scanning through your Facebook news feed. And all of a sudden you start seeing pictures of all your friends who maybe had a lunch gathering. Boy, they look like they had just the best time. Beautiful decorations. Food looks great. Everybody's big smiles, you know, because no one takes pictures of themselves frowning, puts it on the internet. Big smiles, you know. Oh yeah, yeah, that's great. But you weren't invited. You didn't get invited to that particular group of smiling people. What are you feeling? I don't know, maybe insecure. Do they not like me? Am I not raising my kids? Do they not like my kids? Am I not good enough for them? A lot of insecurity there. It's hard. You know, it's easier. Anger. How come they wouldn't invite me to that gathering? Do they not? They don't know all the things that I've done for them when I had them over to my house. And what are they doing? Anger is an easier emotion for us to face. But if we don't deal with the fire underneath, it's never going to go away. If we don't deal with what's really going on in our heart. That's the first one. Here's the second one. Anger comes from blocked goals. And I'll give you just one example of what this looks like. Blocked goals. You wake up in the morning on time. Alarm goes off on time. Get in the shower on time. Get dressed. Teeth brushed. Breakfast. Got your cup of coffee. Get in the car. You head to work. Now, maybe not so much in Wichita Falls, but if you've ever driven in the Metroplex, you know that you could be everything, doing everything you can to be on time. And you get on the road, and there's traffic. Bumper to bumper, stop and go traffic. Before you know it, the meeting that you were headed to on time, now you're 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes late. Who hasn't gotten mad and experienced even a little bit of road rage in the midst of traffic? Or maybe it's just someone that cuts you off. So your goal is to get there on time. You've prepared well to be there on time, but nothing is allowing you to do that. Your goal is being blocked. And so what do? You get angry. Where are all these people coming from? Why can they? What's that guy think he can do cutting me off like that? Don't they know I'm an important person? You're screaming like they can all hear you. You know what it's like. Anger comes from blocked goals. Now here's the deal with this. The objective is not to find a way to then meet that goal. We don't deal with our anger simply by trying our very best and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps even harder to achieve that goal. What we have to learn is that we have to change goals. Because if your goal is dependent on somebody else to meet them, whether that's on those other drivers, and moms, if you've ever tried to wrestle your kids to get them to church on time, you know exactly what it's like. When your goal is to get to church on time, but you're depending on your toddler to get dressed, not always achievable. But it's hard. It's hard to deal with that. So we get angry. See, our goals have to change. We can desire to be at that meeting on time. We can certainly desire to be at church on time. But our goal cannot be to have full control of that situation. You just can't. And that's where we get to say, as we sang earlier, Lord, I need you. I need you. I'm dependent on you. Addressing the inward source of anger is essential for our victory. So what's going on deeper there? What's that deeper emotion that you're experiencing that you're covering over with anger? What are those goals that are happening? Or those blocked goals in your heart that you can't meet, that maybe need to change? For me, and it's as a preacher, we always talk about this. You know, we want that the Spirit would be working in our hearts first before we would stand up here and share this. And man, last 2-4 weeks, the Lord's really been dealing with this in my own heart and in conversations, and here's what I've learned. Somewhere deep down inside of me, there's a fear of failing, and there's a fear of feeling like I can't do it. A fear of inadequacy, fear that I'm incapable. And when you hit that deep in my heart, guess what's likely to come out? It's anger. It happened like this just a couple weeks ago. Jennifer and I and our girls were at Brahms. We'd gone for some ice cream. Well, I love ice cream in our house, and so not uncommon to find us at Brahms, and we'd eaten ice cream there, and we were in our car backing out, and behind us was a row of cars through the drive-thru, and I'm driving, I'm turned around looking behind me at the cars as I begin to back out, and my sweet wife, Jennifer, says to me something like, "Watch out for the cars." Y'all's wife never gives you driving advice, I see. But she says, "Watch out for the cars." And so I respond back to her, "I see them. I'm looking, I see them. At least that's what I thought I had said. We got home, and Jen had the courage, and I'm very thankful for this. She said, Curtis, she said, what you said to me in the car, it hurt me because you snapped at me, and it hurt me. I haven't even gotten in the house yet, having this conversation. And thankfully, like I said, the Lord's been dealing with me on this, and I was able to take a deep breath, acknowledge the emotions, the real emotions that were going on in my wife's heart, think about it, and ask for forgiveness in that. And as I thought about that, it's a silly story, obviously, but as I thought about that later, where there's smoke, there's fire. God, why in the midst of that, why do what I first want to do, why is it that I just want to get angry? And I realized, because in my mind, what I hear when my wife says, watch out for this car, is what I hear her saying is, can you not drive? Are you incapable of driving well? Do you not see this line of cars? Are you going to give us in a wreck? And of course, she's not saying anything like that. But it's tapping on something deep within my heart that I want to cover up with anger. And if you don't address the true source of it, what's really going on in your heart, it'll come again and again and again. And Proverbs will say, the man that can rule his own spirit and do that is far greater than anything else. Because the man who takes a city, that's a great effort, a valiant effort for one day. And then it's done. But the one who can rule his spirit will deal with that day after day after day after day. Finally, I want to say this. We must address our hearts on the level of our heart, because our battle that we fight really is a spiritual one. And that to accept anger really is to reject God's path of wisdom. To accept anger is really to reject God's path of wisdom. Our last verse we'll look at this morning, Proverbs 14:29. Proverbs 14:29 says this, He who is slow to wrath has a great understanding, but he who is impulsive or quick to spirit, the opposite of ruling his spirit, he who is impulsive exalts folly. Proverbs says the ultimate reality behind our anger is what is going on spiritually within our hearts. And this verse, Proverbs 14:9, picks up on our two key phrases from the entire book of Proverbs, understanding and folly. And Proverbs presents with us two paths, the path of wisdom and understanding that leads to God, or the path of foolishness that leads to death. And Proverbs will tell us what's really going on in our hearts is a spiritual issue. Because to push that away is not just to pursue the path of folly, as 14:29 says, but is to the opposite, push away from the path of God. There's a spiritual dimension to our problem with anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul speaks about anger, perhaps the most popular or well-known verse on anger, Paul says, in your anger do not sin, let the sun not go down in your anger. He says, and let give no opportunity to the devil. You see, Paul links anger and sin in the spiritual work of what's going on with our enemy. Because our battle really is a spiritual one. Praise God that He has given us the Holy Spirit who provides the help we need to deal with our anger. The psalm that Blake read over us earlier, Psalm 145:8, characterizes God as gracious and merciful and slow to anger. That's who God is. That's how He's characterized, as someone who is slow to anger. And to think that God Himself and the Holy Spirit lives in us. And He's given us the help that we need. The Bible tells us this, that all of us in here have been separated from our Creator because of sin. And because of that, we deserve, because of who we are as sinful people, we deserve punishment. But that God, because He is gracious and merciful, sent His Son, Jesus, to pay that penalty for our sins. And on the third day, He rose again, victorious over sin and death. And the Bible says when we have faith, when we believe that God has done everything necessary and provided that Savior for us, that God sends Himself, the Holy Spirit, to live in our hearts, to indwell in our hearts. And it's that presence that gives us the help that we need to deal with anger. And if never before, this morning, have in the quietness of your own heart and just right there where you're sitting, have you thought about what that means to have faith in Jesus? We invite you to do it now. Don't have to say magic words. Don't have to even walk up front, right there in your seat, to say, God, I believe that Jesus has paid the penalty I deserved and was raised so that I could have new life with you. And when that happens, the Spirit lives inside of us. I find it interesting in Galatians chapter 5, as Paul is discussing what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, that is to live in the Spirit, to move forward with Him. He would say that the work of the flesh, that is when we live out of the old self, one of those works of the flesh is anger. But one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. See, when we depend on our ultimate source of victory, we will find that victory. And this is really a problem that's too difficult to do on your own. So Paul would say, walk in the Spirit. Our closing moments, let me give you some final encouragement in your fight to deal with anger. Because all of us are like the Hulk, like Bruce Banner, just always lurking within. So what do we do moving forward? Let me give you just four quick ideas. Before anger comes, commit to this. Number one, commit yourself to the hard work of dealing with this difficult issue. Don't defend it. Don't deny it. Don't try to explain it. Commit yourself to the hard work of dealing with anger. It's not okay. The text will tell us it's not okay. Number two, commit yourself to depend on the Spirit to fight a spiritual battle. It's not okay. It's a hard battle to fight, but commit yourself not just to trying to do it on your own, but to depending on the Spirit who dwells us as believers to provide the help that we need. This is a battle worth fighting, and God is on our side who wants victory for us. Number three, commit yourself to some means of delaying anger. Because all of us at time, we need some way to delay what's happening. So maybe it is saying, serenity now. Or counting to 10, or taking a deep breath, or going to another room. Maybe it is putting up a punching bag in your garage and running outside and hitting on it a little bit. Maybe. That's okay. But don't stop there. Number four, commit yourself to discovering the deeper issue behind your anger. What's really going on in your heart? What's really going on? If you're like me, you're not going to discover that maybe probably on your own. What's it look like for you to bring a friend in? Help me understand what's going on here. When I get angry, what's really happening? Maybe it's a meeting with a pastor. Sit down and talk through that. Maybe a counselor. Counselors have in great ways helped me uncover that in my own heart. And certainly, it's through prayer. God, what are you doing? What are you trying to tell me? As I grab that bathroom door, what are you really trying to tell me? He wants victory for you, and He has provided it through the Spirit. I'm going to close our time in prayer this morning, and we'll be dismissed after that. Those words we just sang, I need thee, oh, I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee, are exactly what we close with. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we recognize our need for you as the only one who will provide ultimate victory over such an uncontrollable force as anger. Father, I pray you would help us to uncover what's really going on in our hearts and to move forward in dependency on you. And I pray we would find moments of joy realizing how you are at work in our hearts to deal with the anger within. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.